prove both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written. Oh, I love when the Scripture says that. He's referring back to the Old Testament Scriptures. Psalms 14, 1 through 3, he's quoting it. And Psalms 53, 2 and 3, and Psalms 14, 2 and 3. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Let us pray. Father in heaven, just feel awestruck as I stand before this congregation of people today and awestruck at your word and the power of your spirit. And Lord, I ain't nothing without you. I'm in the place that I am today because your grace. Wasn't for you, I'd still be in my sin, still be living an ungodly life. Lord, I'm thankful to you today for that precious grace. And Lord, may you be exalted. That's my desire, that you would be exalted in this service, that you would flood this place with the power of the Spirit. Oh God of heaven, we pray, if anyone here today don't know you, that Lord, today would be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, we pray that your people that are saved will rejoice in you at what you've done for them. And we ask these things in the name of our sweet King, the Lord Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to title this message today, The Four None Statements. The Four None Statements. There's four statements that we read there in those texts that we're going to deal with. There's a total of four of them. None righteous. You'll notice that in verse 10, none righteous, none that understandeth, none that seeketh, and none that doeth good. Four nones. So we're going to, there's a lot of deep teaching in this, I think. There's a lot of folks that those these verses is very well known that don't really stop to really reflect on what these verses really mean. And that's what we're going to do today. Real basic and easy. I want it to be simple. I try to always keep things. Of course, I am simple, so it's easy to keep things simple. So I pray that it does that for you today. Let's look at the first none. The first none statement is in verse 10, as it is written, referring back to Psalms 14. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. Now, this is apart from the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus, here's is how it is. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, He is not your Savior. You've never received Him as your Savior. Here's how the Lord sees you. He sees you as not being righteous. Now, you might be a good neighbor. You might be a helpful person and a kind person to other people. You might be a good worker on your job. You might be a good provider. But you got to realize what Romans 3 is doing is showing you how you look in the eyes of God. Not necessarily how you look in the eyes of your neighbor or your family members or your co-workers. This is how God sees you without Jesus. And when God looks upon you without Jesus, what He sees is none righteous, no, not one. Folks, that's just another way. That's just another way of saying that all men are sinners, is it not? If none are righteous, apart from God's grace, apart from Jesus Christ, if none are righteous, then that means all are sinners. Now, one of the reasons why this is here is we like to think how good we are. I deal with people all the time that are lost, and they think, well, hey, man, I'm a good person, Jeff. I take care of things at home. I'm a good provider, as I mentioned, and I'm good to my mom and dad. And they say all these great things that they are because men need to realize in order to be saved, men need to realize that they are not righteous and they're undone and they need a Savior. That's why you preach on sin, so people will realize that they have transgressed God's law and are undone before Him. Without Jesus, here's how you look. None righteous. Apart for His righteousness, my friend, you are unrighteous. I read I can't remember where. You know, I read so much, then I forget where I read it at. But I was reading about C.H. Spurgeon, and a lot of times what Spurgeon did was he would have people come to his office on Mondays. He would preach on Sundays, and if somebody was interested in salvation, he'd have them come to his office on Monday. He'd do that. Sometimes what people do is they don't count the cost when they make a profession of faith. Sometimes people can get worked up in a church service, son, and make a decision that really they're not ready to make. I always called it foxhole repentance. They make repentance because they're scared, and whenever things work out for them, then they're back out the way they were before. So you'd have them come the next day when they had time to really think about it. Is this really a decision? Is this really a decision you want to make? They'd have them come the next day. You know what this old boy did? He brought his mommy in. His mommy wouldn't know how to be saved. And this boy brought his mom, I don't know how old he was, but he brought his mother in, and he set his mommy down, and he said, this boy was saved, but his mommy wasn't, and he's talking to C.H. Spurgeon, and he says, "Now, Brother Spurgeon, my mommy's a good woman. My mommy's been carrying me all of her life," and he went on just being to blow, like every son will blow their mommy up. And C.H. Spurgeon said, "No, my friend, no, sir. Your mother is a sinner and a rebel against God. And she needs the righteousness of Jesus Christ." All God's people said. Oh, man, today the Lord touched my heart. I realized I was a sinner. And I realized I wasn't righteous. And I realized that I needed a Savior. The only righteousness you can really have in the eye, if you look down in Romans chapter 3, look at verse 22. Notice what it says. There is a righteousness that you need. It says in verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by what? There's a righteousness that comes to you by faith. It alarms me at the number of people that don't know that. There is a righteousness that comes to you by faith. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them who believe. You need that righteousness. It comes to you by faith. I bore this church out with this over the years. We got a lot of new folks now, thank God. So I get to say it all over again. It takes 100% righteousness, folks, for you to go to heaven. You might think, well, that leaves me out. Leaves me out, too, because what's the Bible say? There's none righteous. In and of themselves, there's none righteous. But there is a righteousness that can be given to you. As a matter of fact, I should use the Bible word for it. It's called imputed righteousness. It's what the radio broadcast is about tomorrow. When you, by faith in Jesus Christ, when you by faith receive that Jesus died on Calvary for you and rose again the third day, here's what the Lord does. He charges all your sin to Jesus. You see, you better want it charged all to Jesus, because if it's not, it's all going to be charged to you. And then he takes it. Don't stop there. How righteous was Jesus, folks? We know he was 100% righteous, do we not? He takes all of Jesus' righteousness and he charged it to you. And I'm telling you today, before Almighty God and this congregation of people, the only way you will stand before a righteous God righteous is to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, there's none righteous. You see what I'm saying? None. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was a Pharisee before he was saved. He's a good man, wasn't he? You know, Saul of Tarsus never drank, smoked, or cussed. He believed in creation. He believed God created the world in 6 24-hour days. He sought to keep the commandments. He kept every Sabbath day. He observed every Jewish feast day. He never missed the time of the temple that he was supposed to be there. I'm talking about Saul of Tarsus. He was circumcised the eighth day. In Philippians chapter 3, he gives you all of his pedigree in verses 4 and through verse 8. These are things that he trusted in. Circumcised, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Touching the law, he was a Pharisee. He describes what all the things he was, because before he was saved, he thought he was what again? Righteous. A good man. I know a lot of the scriptures. I have a moral life. I believe in God. On and on and on. Until the road to Damascus. Until by grace, Jesus struck him down on the road to Damascus. Now watch this change of thinking in this man. Notice what he says. Oh, praise the Lord for this text. Philippians chapter 3. Notice what he says now. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, rubbish, that I may win Christ. You know, to be saved today, you got to quit trusting in yourself. You got to quit trusting in yourself. You got a Sabbath. You got to cease from your own works and trust Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, there is what again? None righteous, no, not one. The only way you're going to stand before God with a righteous standing before Him is to be standing in Jesus. Let me read on here in Philippians 3. You care? Let's go ahead and look down. Look at what He says in verse 9. Here's the way I am. He says, I want to be found where at in verse 9? I want to be found in Him. If you ain't found in Him, you'll be found lost. Be found in Him, not having my own righteousness. Can't do enough, friends. Not having my own righteousness, which is through the law. Well, watch it now again now. That which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Everybody see it? None righteous. You need the righteousness of God. Righteousness of Jesus Christ charged to your account. He does that by faith. That's how the thief on the cross went to heaven. You ever wonder how the thief on the cross went? He went by the righteousness of Christ. You know how Lot went? He went by the righteousness of Christ. All the way back to whoever. It's all by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What Jesus did. All right, let's move on to our next point. You ready? That was easy, wasn't it? None righteous, no, not one. That's apart from Jesus. If you haven't trusted Jesus, that's how you appear. You might look like a great person to me. I worked with a lot of good people that were lost. You say, well, Jeff, I know what the Scriptures teach. But in the eyes of man, they appear good. See the difference? Oh, look, oh, I'm such a good guy. Not in the eyes of God. Unrighteous. Ungodly. Number two, let's get to second none. Let's go ahead and get back to the second none statement. Now, you see, all I'm doing is what? I just read you the Scriptures. You say, well, Jeff, I don't agree with that. That's what the Scripture says. None righteous. That's why I needed a Savior. There was a day that I realized I wasn't righteous. And I needed a Savior. See? Number two. Watch this now. Oh, I love this. This is a favorite. Like Aunt Hazel used to say, this is my favorite one. Notice what else it says here. There, verse 11, there's none that understandeth. No, not one. There's none that what? You don't understand. Apart from the illumination of the Holy Spirit. What's illumination mean? It means to give you light. You turn all these lights off, this room gets dark. You turn the lights on, you illuminate it. There's a day in my life when the Lord turned the lights on in my heart. Old John Newton, who had the writer of Amazing Grace, he said, I was blind, but now I... You see now, not because you're brighter than everybody else. You see now because He turned on the light for you. He hath given you an understanding. There's none that understandeth in and of herself. You can go back and look in Matthew 13 at the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower pictures going out and presenting the gospel. The seed that goes on the good ground, it says, he that hears the word and he understands it. That's what the Lord does, is He gives you an understanding. It bothers me, but it bothers you. People can come in. I try to make a message so clear. I work so hard at that. And sometimes subconsciously I think, I ain't no way they can say no to this. This is clear as crystal. Ain't no way they can say no to this. I got every argument covered, every basis, everything covered. I'm even going to use a picture so they can see it. And they still walk out of this place lost. Why is that, Jeff? Because I can't give them the understanding. Only the Holy Spirit can give you the understanding. You see, before you were saved, you were dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. What's... Dead people don't do anything. They can't walk. They can't talk. They can't hear. They will not see until they're quickened. That's what Ephesians 2 says. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And then the Holy Spirit quickened us. He made us alive. And when He makes you alive, He gives you an understanding. He gives you an understanding to know Him. Turn to 1 John 5. I want to show you this. I pounded this verse in the ground. I keep switching verses that I want put on my tombstone. I think I'll go put about 10 tombstones down and put 10 verses on them. I want people to walk by and look at that and be saved. I ain't kidding you. I've heard of people looking on a tombstone and seeing a text, and Lord, the Holy Spirit used that to save them. So I keep changing my verse. Well, right now, it probably will be this verse. Look at verse 20, everybody in the house. What's a none that understandeth, right? And we know that the Son of God has come. Do we know that? We know that the Son of God has come. And He's given us an... Look at it. He's given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true. Who gave you that understanding? He did. Do you really think you understand and know Him and see Him because you're smarter than everybody else? I don't think so. I think you see it because He revealed that to you. I think He gave you the understanding. I think He did that by His grace. And I think if He didn't, you'd still be in your sin. I do. I think that's what the Scriptures teach. I know that's what the Scriptures teach. Can I show you something else? Turn to Matthew 16. Well, I'm happy here today. You? I'm happy to be in God's house and be with you. I just think we'll be able to share this message with you. Amen. I believe what I'm telling you here today. Matthew chapter 16. He gave you the understanding. You ever notice I don't try to pull people down front? Y'all notice that? No, you won't ever see me do that by God's grace. That causes false conversions. I don't know there's any saving value up here is as much saving value back here where you're at. It's where you see you're a sinner and trust Christ that you saved. See what I mean? I don't pull people up front. I don't try to use all these different techniques to get you up front. I just kind of figure if you preach the gospel and the Holy Spirit takes that to your heart, you'll believe. Amen. I believe that. He gives you the understanding. And I depend on Him to do that. Matthew 6:16, I like this text because He asked His disciples, who do men... You remember that text? Who do men say that I am? Watch this now. Verse 15, and He said, but whom say ye that I am? He asked, who did men say that I was in the earlier verses. But here He looks at His apostles and He says, who do you say that I am? Look what Simon Peter says. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. He knew who He was. You're the Messiah. We believe You're the Messiah. You can go down to John 6 and thousands of people walked off and left Him. After He preaches a strong message, thousands of the Flavonites go off and leave Him. Here stands these 12. And He looks at them and says, will ye also go away? You going to go away with everybody else? Simon Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. And we believe and art sure that Thou art the Christ. They believed it. They believed it. Can I ask you a question? You know why they believed it? He gave them an understanding. I'm going to show you that in this text. Getting all tore up. God's grace blesses my heart. Because you just got to understand. I know that if it wasn't for Him, I'd either be dead. I know I'd definitely still be lost. And I appreciate that. See what I'm trying to say? I don't think it was because I was smart. Because I definitely know I wasn't. I think it's because of Him. All Him. And I want you to believe the same way. Matthew 16, watch this now. And Jesus answered, after Simon Peter gave Him that gold testimony, Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. What else does the verse say? Where flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. No man revealed that to you. What else does it say? But my Father, which art in heaven. You see, because He gave you an understanding. Luke chapter 24, and talking to the... You know, disciples never understood about... In His ministry, disciples never understood that Jesus would die, be buried, and resurrect. I showed you three or four times in Mark where He told them But they just never understood it. They just, for some reason, couldn't comprehend that. And the book of Luke chapter 24 says later, after he resurrected from the dead, he went to the Scriptures, and he began with the Scriptures, and he worked his way through it. And then the text says in Luke 24, then opened up their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That all comes from the Lord. Remember Lydia, the seller of purple? Acts 16, remember what it said? Whose heart who opened? Whose heart the Lord opened. When He opens your heart, He opens your understanding. And you see what you are. You see what you are. You see where you're going. And you see why He died. And by faith, you trust Him as your Savior. That's what happens. And if it don't happen, you'll stay right there in your sin, wanting to. Wanting to. You don't get any better than understanding who Jesus is. If you can't be thankful for nothing today, and you're saved, you need to thank Him every day for the understanding He gave you in Him. Because just without Him, you'd still be in your sin. All right, none righteous, none to what? None that understand it. That's apart from His grace. None understands. Let's go back to our text. Romans chapter 3. Oh, I can't wait to. Did I say I like that other one? I like this one too. None righteous, none that understandeth. And what else is it? Verse 11. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. We got this seeking thing all messed up. That seeking thing is all messed up. You ever hear churches want to become seeker friendly? I ain't never figured that out yet. Seeker what? In most cases, all that means is you push out the Scriptures, bring in entertainment, and try to entertain people for 45 minutes to an hour. Man, you can't push out the Scriptures. That's the key to everything. Seriously. The Scriptures is the key to everything. Holy Spirit uses the Scriptures to save the sinner, does He not? Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the... After you're saved, you're just like a little baby in Christ, aren't you? Little baby Christian. What's look at 1 Peter 2? Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Man, they're pushing out the very strength of their church by pushing out the Scriptures. You teach the Scriptures. The Lord will draw His sheep with the Scriptures. And the Lord will cause His sheep to grow with the Scriptures. I want the Scriptures. And you should thank God Almighty that you've got a place you can come to and hear the Scriptures. That's where all that comes from. Verse of the seeker. All right, let's go on. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. You know, man won't seek God on his own. I'm telling you, he won't. You know how long man's been running away from the Lord? I'll go all the way back to Adam. Remember after Adam sinned, what he did? What did Adam do after he sinned? He went and hid. Was he seeking after God? Adam, where art thou? God sought him out. And man's been hiding from him ever since. You leave man completely alone, he'll stay right there dead in his sin. He won't understand the things of the Lord. He won't be righteous, and he won't seek after God either. There's none that seeks after God. Is that what it says? That's in and of himself. They won't do it. The Lord has to make them alive. The Lord has to quicken them. And then they will seek. Common text of Scripture. I'm going to try to move fast. Luke 19 and verse 10, I'll tell you about it. Luke 19 and verse 10 says this. It says this. For the Son of Man came, now listen to this, to seek and to save that which was lost. To do what? Seek. And to do what? Save. That's what he does. Jesus is a seeker. He sought me out. Oh, people say all the time, the day I saved was the day that I found Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus wasn't lost. You were lost. Jesus didn't have to be found. The day you were saved was the day Jesus found you. A lot of difference. Man, we got this whole thing messed up. You got sheep seeking the shepherd. That's not how the Scriptures present it. The shepherd seeks the lost sheep. It's all reversed. Do you see what I mean? Shouldn't be that way. No man will seek after God in and of himself. The Holy Spirit has to deal with his heart. Man, I can remember living in sin and loving it. Didn't care. Oh, man, I remember. Man, if you don't change your ways, Jeff, you're going to go to hell. I said, I want to go to hell, man. That's where all my friends is at. They're making stupid, ignorant statements like that. He said, boy, you're different now. I sure am. He gave me an understanding and he sought me out. Made me alive and saved my soul. Luke 19 and verse 10, the text I quoted. If you read the verses 1 through 9 of that text, he just saved Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? He had just washed him clean from his sin. You know who Zacchaeus was in his day? He was one of the worst sinners of his day, I believe. He was a publican. He was a tax collector. He went forth and collected taxes from his own brethren, his own Jewish people. He collected taxes for the Roman government. They viewed the publicans as traitors. Everybody hated the publicans. Can you understand why? You imagine your own people not only collecting taxes for a foreign government, but they stole from you. They'd give them, say, $200 to collect. They'd collect $500 and keep it. He even had publicans that worked for him. So he was a height of sinner. No one would have wanted anything to do with Zacchaeus. If he lived in Bancroft, everybody'd hate him. I'm telling you, everybody, we wouldn't want him in here. He's a publican. I'll tell you what, the King of Glory sought him out. It says he was going up to Jerusalem. This is when he was going up to Jerusalem for his crucifixion. Actually, he's going up. And it says he goes in Jericho, Joe. He goes in Jericho. And he looks, there he is. He's up in a sycamore tree. And Jesus looks up at him. You know what Jesus called him? Anybody remember? Called him Zacchaeus. Yeah. He had never met Jesus before. That's why he went up in the sycamore tree to start with. He wanted to see this famous Jewish preacher. Up in that sycamore tree, Jesus went over and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. I'm going to your house today. He didn't say, can I please come to your house today? He said, I'm going to your house today. He said, what was Jesus doing there? The last verse in that text, verses 1 through 10, says Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost. Jesus sought him, and he saved him. All God's people said. You see it? He did. And if it wasn't for Jesus, Zacchaeus would have stayed right on in his sin. I'm telling you, Jesus sought him out. Jesus knew him. All God's people said. You see it? Man, I see this. Seeks and saves. You see it in the case of Zacchaeus. We all know the parable of the lost sheep, Luke chapter 15. You have 99 in the fold and there's one lost sheep. What's the shepherd do? He goes out and does what for it? He searches for it. High and low till he finds that lost sheep. And he brings it, puts it on his shoulder and he brings it to the fold. That's what Jesus, when I see, I can't even read it without crying. Because when I see that lost sheep, I see Jeff Arthur. That's where I was at. He sought me out. Do we sing the song here, Victory in Jesus? Everybody sing it? You know, there's a part of that song that says what? He sought me. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. So what I'm telling you is not off the wall. This is forgotten teaching. We're trying to bring her back. God's word is never totally lost. There will always be places where it's preached. But this, you seeking the Lord, you won't seek him until he first seeks you. You don't ask him to save you until he first opens your mind and your heart. He deserves the glory for that. All right, let's move on. We still in Romans 3? All right. Romans 3 says, verse 10, none righteous, none that understandeth, none that seeketh. You won't seek him. You stay right there in your sin until he opens your heart and he opens your mind and draws you. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father do what? That's what it says in it. That's to draw you. Latter part of verse 12 says, there's none that doeth good. That's apart from being cleaned up from Jesus. You can't do good. You say, I can do good now. You know, the Pharisees, you say, well, a lost man can do good things. They can. A lost man can give money to the church. A lost man can help build a church. building. I should say a building. Can help build a building. Lost man can do a lot of things that we would call good. But God does not accept their deeds apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you realize that? Oh, I'll just, you know, it's old. It's old one, I'm telling you. Isaiah 64:6 says, our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags before Him. You know, a filthy rag is worthless until it's cleaned up. I was a filthy rag one time. The Lord couldn't use me because I was filthy. I was lost. I sin, all these things. Boy, once He cleaned me, He can clean all He wants to with me. See what I mean? You got to be cleaned up first. Pharisees did a lot of righteous things. You can read about them in Matthew 6. Matthew 6 says they prayed, they gave alms. They did. They prayed, they gave alms, they sang, you know. They did. It describes all the good things that they fasted. All the things that they did. But folks, do you know why they did those things? They did those things to be seen. They did those things for their own. People can do good works, but it's the motive behind the works. Man, I fight that all the time. Motive. Well, our old flesh is so horrible. Oh, if you want to be glorified by man, you want to do this and all these different things. I want to do things to please Jesus, and I ask Him about that for that all the time. Lord, help me to do this to please You and to bring glory to You, not to glory to Jeff. Jeff ain't nothing. Nothing without You. Nothing without You. You see the teaching? You see the importance of the text that we're looking at today? I think it puts us in our place. You can't do righteousness until you're saved. You can't do good until you're saved. In the eyes of God. See, again, I'm pointing you in the eyes of God. When He looks down upon you, your righteousness is as filthy rags. You need to be saved first. You see what I'm trying to say? You know what Jesus told the Pharisees? He said, you're a whited sepulcher. A whited sepulcher. What's a whited sepulcher? Well, you go and they'd have sepulchers back in that day and time, and sometimes they'd make them out of ivory, Coy, and they'd make them very beautiful on the outside, but inside, Jesus said, you're just like them. He's just like a whited sepulcher. You appear righteous on the outside, but inside you're filled with dead men's bones. Folks, God looks on the heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 says, when He looks at the heart of man, it is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And in Romans 3, 10 through verse 20, He shows you what He sees. This is an x-ray. You're getting an x-ray vision from God in this text. This is what He sees in you apart from Jesus. This is why you need to be saved. Too many people in our land are call themselves good people. I'm a good person, Jeff. How many times have you heard it? I'm a good person. I take care of my family. I watch after those that on my job. I work hard. All these different things they tell you. I'm telling you, this text says that you're not righteous, that you're not seeking after God, that you don't understand. And you're not doing good. So when you see all four of those none statements, you know what that means? You need a Savior. And you need righteousness more than your own. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All God's people do. Everybody see it? And when you really, this verse really hits home, these texts hit home, you'll know what you are. Won't be no doubt where you're at. All right, we'll go close with 1 Corinthians 1. Can you believe that? 10 minutes early. We don't have no set time. I try to keep it where I don't wear people out. I can preach a long, long time, but I try to say it in less time and just trust in the Lord's power. Everybody in 1 Corinthians 1? I'm in Christ today. I'm in Jesus. Being in Jesus is like being in the ark. In the Old Testament, remember when the Lord was going to destroy, He's bringing judgment on the world? All the wrath of God was falling on this old planet. Remember? And the place where you wanted to be when the rain started is you wanted to be in the ark. Well, Jesus is the ark. The wrath of God is upon God's wrath. You just got to understand what I'm trying to say. God's wrath is upon you because of sin. And if you die in this shape, you'll die unrighteous. And you'll die undone. The worst thing that could ever happen to you is not to lose your job or not to lose your health. The worst thing that could happen to you is to lose your soul. Without Jesus, you'll lose your soul. You won't be righteous. You won't have a good standing with Him. Now, to the rest of you that are saved, I'm telling you today that you have an understanding because He gave you that understanding. And I'm telling you that you sought Him because He first sought you. If it wasn't for Him, you'd still be up where you was before. And you know why I teach that? I'm a sovereign grace man. I think the Scriptures are sovereign grace. What I just give to you is sovereign grace. And the reason I am, because it gives all the glory to God. Watch this. Are you with me? I want you to look at this verse. Verse 30 says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus." In other words, the reason why you're in Christ Jesus is of Him are you in Christ Jesus. Now, how'd you get in Christ? Notice up at verse 20. Let me go ahead and let's read verse. I don't want to get off on this, but I'm just going to read this. Would that be all right? I'll read it, and then we'll preach it some other time. Verse 26. "For you see your calling, brother. Not many wise men after the flesh." Boy, all you have to do is look up in front of you this morning and see that he didn't pick the sharpest tack to be pastor of Elizabeth Baptist Church. Really, he didn't. Boy, he can make you sharp, though. "You see your calling, brother, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world, things that are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Verse 29. "That no flesh should glory in His presence." You go to heaven. I'll take you to Revelations. You want me to? In Revelations, you don't see anybody in heaven glorying how gracious they were and all that they'd done for Jesus. You see them taking their crowns and saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lamb, to receive honor and glory and praise." We're in Christ because of Him. Verse 31, let's close. "That according as it is written..." What's it say in verse 31? Here's why I've done it. You are saved. This is the reason I preach this for you. "That according as it's written, he that glorieth..." What's it say? "Let him glory in the Lord." Amen. I had a fellow come up one time and say, "Jeff, Jeff saved me last night." "Man, I didn't save you." "Told you how to be saved. I can't save you. I can tell you how to be saved. Lord saved you. He deserves the glory." Well, I'm going to stop. We're going to have a word of prayer and close. Have you worshiped today? Man, I've worshiped. I feel just good text. Hard to mess that text up, isn't it? All you have to do is read it. It just makes you excited, I think. If you're here today and lost, I show you your standing. You've been told. You've been told. And you've been told. And you've been told. You need this salvation. The Scripture says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He can do that right there where you're at this morning. Lord, if He's touched your heart and you see your need, you need it. You know you need it. Now you understand. You see. If you'll trust Him today right there where you're at, He'll save your soul, wash you clean, make you His child.
give you a home in heaven. He wants you to have that today. You're here today and saved and you've drifted. Man, when I see how much He loved me, it makes me, I want to serve Him because I love Him. I'd still be in my sin if it wasn't for Him. And I want you to give Him the glory. Well, we'll close with prayer. And we're going to take a minute. Let's all stand. We're going to take a minute in silent prayer. You're here today and saved. We're going to be quiet. Or you're going to pray silently. We're all going to pray silently. Then I'll close. You don't care.